101.9 High FM, one nation, one station.
Ilana Stain, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Howard Zanati. I didn't realize I was the rational environmentalist. That's fantastic.
I said to Zanati earlier, I hope Ilana doesn't mind that we've actually given her a title.
It's better than the last one you gave me, so that's okay.
Oh, hold on, which one was the last one? I can't even remember.
I think it was something like the Jewish Greta.
Oh, yes, there was that one. Okay, fine.
I just know that she's the only environmentalist that we actually listen to.
Because she's rational. Because not all environmentalists are rational, and I can't have the conversation if it isn't, because then it's all about hysterics, and I can't, you know, I've got a 15-year-old daughter. I can stay home if I wanted that, if you know what I mean. All right, and that might just get me into a little bit of trouble. Either way, it is World Elephant Day, and I wanted to get take a snapshot of what Southern Africa looks like in terms of the elephant population. We've heard about these terrible deaths in Botswana. If there's been any update as to what has happened there.
Okay, sure. So yeah, I think firstly, I also wanted to talk about numbers, because we spend every day talking numbers in terms of COVID, if you mm-hmm. think about it. So I just went to check what the latest numbers are, which obviously are not exact because, well, elephants, you know, they're not exactly in our backyards to count, and they don't come for a COVID test. So what in general, across Africa, we're looking at about 400,000 elephants across Africa, the savannah elephant we're talking about.
Okay.
There is the forest elephant, but we can't count those because they're in the forest.
Yeah.
So that sounds like quite a large number, but I want you to consider that in 1930, there were 10 million
what?
Elephants across Africa. Yeah.
Wow.
So what we're looking at is an animal that is, listen, it's large, it's in our faces, everyone knows elephants, everyone thinks elephants are doing very well, for example, but actually we're talking about a tremendous drop in population, and it's primarily considered to be because of ivory poaching. So poaching for their tusks.
Oh, wow.
The elephant population in East Africa is certainly halved because of that. The majority of elephants now, 70%, live in Southern Africa. So we've got the, if I may say, lion's share of the elephants. And in that, Botswana has 130,000 of those. So Botswana has the largest population. And when we look at that as a population, we're also looking at it, and this is what's amazing. I mean, we need to celebrate elephants as well and not just get scared of the numbers. But they truly are the most unbelievable creatures. And in one sense, we know that they form what's called meta herds. So that means of your 130,000 elephants, you're going to have them breaking off into their smaller, call it natal herds, you know, where mm-hmm. they've been born into, and then they come together with other herds during times, for example, of a lot of water, less water, I beg your pardon, and then they'll move off again. So you get this herd that there's no doubt that there's communication going on between them that we don't understand. We're just scratching the surface when it comes to elephant communication. We know that they recognize individuals and different individuals. We know that they can feel loss and understand death. I mean, these are creatures that sit quite high up in the, closer to humans than most primates, actually. So they're incredible species. In terms of, as I say, the numbers, Botswana has the largest number that moves around through the Okavango Delta, Chobe, and other sort of nature reserves.
Amazing. It's some years ago we went on a trip to Chobe, and I've got this tremendous fear of elephants. I actually find them very, very scary. Possibly more than, most other animals. I don't know. They really do make me very nervous. But when we were in Chobe, I somehow wasn't nervous of the elephants. They seemed to be, the elephants themselves seemed to be more relaxed. And I couldn't, and I pointed it out to my family, and they all said, you know, you're actually right. When you go to, let's say, Kruger or the Sabi Sands, I find the elephants there, maybe, it sounds terrible, it sounds weird, but they were more tense. Whereas in Chobe, yes. I found them to be less threatening and more relaxed. Is this a completely bizarre observation?
No, I don't think so. I think you will find that. Because elephants are actually quite complex creatures, they're going to react more to the environment. So, and to people around them, for example. So, for example, in a place like Sabi Sands, there's a lot of vehicles, you know, that are constantly in the way. Kruger's the same thing, especially you get rude people, you know, barreling down the road. There is no doubt that there is a sense of tension that they're reacting to there. Whereas Chobe and the Okavango, it's a very, the tourism in Botswana is very rigidly controlled in terms of numbers, etc. And also generally you don't have these tar roads like you do in Kruger. With people sort of going up and down. So I think that has a thing. Now, the truth is I haven't read any papers on it, so I can't be so rational. So I just need to point that out.
Right, fine. So Luca's being irrational here. It's me.
We're all allowed to make things up.
But it's anecdotal evidence more than just you. So I think we could definitely go with that. And I'll tell you another thing, and that is it depends also where the elephants have come from. So, for example, if you go to Pilansburg, as we know, for many years, the elephants there were tremendously stressed out because they were the survivors of culls killing that took place in Kruger to keep the numbers down. And moving the survivors, the youngsters across into Pilansburg.
So they had this trauma.
Absolute trauma. That is, there's no doubt that they feel that, which not all animals do, but elephants do. They also needed their elders. And that's the other amazing thing about elephants is that they learn not just from observation and instinct, but from the elders. They have an education system, which is an incredible idea.
Because surely then if we did, it should be done keeping this in mind, where you keep certain herds intact or families intact and move them rather than just moving the youngsters.
Right. So there's no doubt that now if they do cull, that does take place. You know, they've got a lot more knowledge of elephants than they this is the 70s or the 80s.
Right.
So they're understanding that. But it's interesting. We don't know if there's much culling, but the reason for culling is the interesting thing, because the truth is that there are only two species on this planet that have the power to change their environment radically. And that's, of course, us and elephants. So in terms of that, if you think about us, well, you know, if you've got 7.5 billion of us, we are going to do that. But even if you're a large 6-ton mammal, you're going to eat so much that they talk about things like that. Elephants will say, almost denude the environment around them of young trees. So that'll change from a woodland to a more bushy kind of area. So they'll do things like that, and that's part of what conservationists look at when they're trying to work out if there are too many elephants. But as you can hear, they're not too many elephants in general.
So surely the answer would be just to move them. I mean, I know it's not easy. They're not, you can't put an elephant in the boot, but considering that the numbers have gone down from the millions and millions down to 400,000, we wouldn't want to cull anything.
Correct. So that, you know, they generally, depends on the country, but they do try other things. So Botswana is a great case in point, because what they actually did was there were so many elephants that you were starting to have what's called HEC, human-elephant conflict. I mean, when you get an acronym for something, then
you know it's here to stay.
Exactly. So human elephant conflict is because you've got villages on the side of natural areas. They're not fenced, and so elephants will come in and really raid the crops.
We actually saw that in Chobe, that the elephants would literally walk down the street of a little village, and everybody kind of just ignored them, and then everybody went out and carried on their own business. It was incredible to see.
Right. It's unbelievable. What they're trying to do is allow the two species to live better together, side by side, but it's not easy. Mm. It's not easy, especially if that's your entire crop for the season and you
Absolutely.
Can't exactly go to Woolies to replenish. So, yeah. So those are the issues there. And there's plenty more, but just on the deaths that we've had.
Yes, so let's just talk about
that.
Yeah, absolutely.
So just to remind everyone, we, in about, I think it was March, April or so, there was a aerial footage taken in the Okavango Delta, which showed something like 200 to 400 elephants. I mean, there's a lot of, what's the word? You know, if it bleeds, it leads. What do you call it?
Coverage.
Sensationalism. Hundreds of elephants. And so we know of about 400. It doesn't mean there aren't more. But that's quite a substantial number of elephants still, just lying dead in the veld. And the way that this seems to have happened, they look like they've crashed head first into the earth. In other words, it seems like a sudden death. It's you know, that's what it seemed to look like. And there were sickly elephants that were around as well that you could see. They were emaciated. So obviously this was huge. There was a lot of also politicizing coming in, but from a scientific point of view, people went in and they got samples from these elephants, and they've done studies in a number of different countries on these samples. And the short answer is, and the long answer actually, is that they still don't know. They still don't know what has killed these elephants. So what's definitely been ruled out, we know what it's not. It's not poaching, because they have their tusks still attached.
Right, of course, and that would have been the reason.
Mm-hmm. That would have been, absolutely. It's not things like deliberate poisoning by villagers, which it would also have been a reasonable idea. It's not anthrax. It's not pathogens. It's not chemicals and pesticides. So we know all that. And it's also not just drought or starvation. At the end of the dry season, so that would be about now to September, October, sometimes you do see elephants dying of starvation because there's not enough food for them, you know, that kind of thing. But we know this isn't the case here. So there's this very tentative answer at the moment, that it's naturally occurring toxins, possibly in the water.
Wow. Is this part of a normal cycle? I mean, is this normal?
No.
Okay.
No.
So it's not something we can say, well, it's like a veld fire. You know, it's terrible and it's devastating, but it's just part of a cycle. This isn't.
Correct. No, not at all. And that is why it's gotten people really upset, I think, is because we don't know. And this is what's called, by the way, it's called a massive die-off. And it does happen.
Has it continued to happen? I mean, is this...
So... Mm. Yeah, no, good question. I've been reading up as much as I can and asking people who know, and we can't find anything that says that it has continued to happen. It doesn't mean it isn't. They might just not be releasing the news, but, it doesn't seem to be continuing. But as I say, there have been these things before, sort of these sudden mass deaths of animals that we don't really understand. You know, for example, that happened in, it actually happened in Zimbabwe, I don't know how many thousands of elephants died. But then they finally worked out maybe that was about drought. And in fact, there was a viral infection in Kruger National Park that killed 64 elephants in the 1990s.
They're quite social, so it seems to affect a lot at the same time. What are you
and I just want to know, do these typically move on to humans, or are they just
Zanati.
Specific to... No, I want to know. How?
Sorry.
Zanati wants to know, do they move on to humans, these diseases? I think she's completely traumatized by COVID. That's very clear to me.
And I would say I don't blame you at all, Zanati. I have to tell you, one doesn't know. And in fact, I must be honest, when I heard about these, I thought, gosh, I wonder if they caught COVID. So yeah. I was actually worrying the other way around.
Yeah, you see, Zanati. It all depends on your perspective. Unsigned says the late tyrannical Robert Mugabe apparently supported a herd in Zimbabwe known as the President Herd. President's herd.
Correct.
Wow.
Yes.
Wow. Okay.
Yes. He did have this herd that that was his. I can't remember exactly where it was though. Where it was kept. It was in a game reserve.
Right.
Yeah.
That's
possibly you could say one of the good things that he did.
All
but
right,
it really,
at least there was something. Yeah. And yes, Karen says amazing insights from Ilana. This is where we do have to leave it. Ilana Stan, thank you for taking the time to speak to us, to school us on elephants. It is World Elephant Day. Ilana is our resident rational environmentalist. Thank you as always. It is 8:30. I'm Howard Feldman. This is your Morning Mayhem. Good morning.